Why did he do this? No one knows. Why was he dressed like a woman? No one knows. The only witness left alive to even talk about it is Robert Durst.
We have very compelling evidence.
This case was not investigated the way it should have been.
A lot of smoke doesn't necessarily mean fire, but I think there's a lot of smoke here.
Not tell the whole truth. Nobody tells the whole truth. Kill them all. Of course.
This is the Arlene Bynum Show on Canada Talks.
That is a little taste of a documentary called The Jinx, which has been focused on the case of Robert Durst. And now this documentary, as it gets ready to close, is in the news because Robert Durst has been arrested and ordered to attend a court hearing next week. Robert Durst. He is a real estate heir, been connected to murder for so long. And now this documentary has got him back in the headlines because they have a clip, and we just played a little bit of it there, that they believe shows him confessing to other murders and crimes. We discussed it yesterday. He didn't know his mic was on. And now this story is raising a lot of questions, and not just about the murders. We're going to find out more. Joining me, Jason Lynch. He's a TV writer for The Daily Beast, has a great piece on this in The Daily Beast. He also writes for many other publications, including The Atlantic, NBC News. Welcome, Jason, to the program.
Good afternoon.
What an unusual story. The focus for the last couple of days has been, hey, did Robert Durst actually confess when it looks like he didn't know the mic was on? But as your piece says, now there is some focus on the filmmakers of this documentary, The Jinx.
There is. You know, it was a stunning 24 hours. So Sunday night, the finale aired on HBO, and you get to that final scene, and it was nothing. It was unlike anything I had seen on TV before, you know, the audio of that confession. And, you know, we've heard people confess on TV, you know, almost every TV kind of procedural ever, you hear somebody confess. And it has never sounded as chilling as those words from Robert Durst. You know, it capped what I thought was a spectacular six-episode documentary series of The Jinx on HBO. And then that night and into the next morning, all of a sudden, these stories start popping up about, you know, that are questioning the timeline, especially in that last episode of the series, and exactly when this last interview with Durst took place. The filmmakers had lined up several interviews on Monday, including one with me. And as the early interviews started, people were trying to pin them down to a timeline. They were being very evasive. They wouldn't say. They said they weren't sure. And then eventually they just canceled their interviews. And the explanation was that, well, now that Durst has been arrested, they may be called to testify. And it just didn't really seem to hold water. And now we're kind of wondering, you know, why, considering this whole show, the whole series was trying to to pin Durst down for being evasive. You know, now they seem to be doing, you know, something very similar.
All right. What are they being evasive about? They're canceling these interviews, as you say, this blockbuster roundup of this documentary,
right.
Chilling clip that we played from the talk. On the
right.
other hand, they, as you say, are grilling Robert Durst. They have these in the final moments, you know, they have all this evidence they're confronting him with, but they're not being clear about a number of things. Is one of them, too, is when did they know that they had that tape, and when did they go to the police?
Right, and there's another one beyond that is kind of the primary focus, which is when did this, what they call the second interview with Durst, which is at the end of that is when he goes into the bathroom and does his confession. When did that actually take place? The timeline in the final episode on Sunday made it seem like they had been pursuing this interview with him, and Durst had been putting them off. And then what finally gives them leverage is Durst is arrested in 2013 for violating a restraining order against his brother. And then Durst, in turn, goes to Andrew Jarecki, who had filmed footage of him earlier around his brother's property, and asked him to give that footage over to the police to kind of help bolster his case. The way that the Jinx portrays that is that then Jarecki kind of uses that as a leverage to get him to get him to sit down for the last interview. In fact, it appears that that second interview actually took place a year earlier in 2012. And if you've seen the entire series, there's a scene a few episodes ago where Durst is kind of walking around Times Square being filmed, and it seems like that same day is the day that the second interview took place. And, you know, so the timeline has been messed with. Yes, it makes it a very compelling last episode, but that last confession would have been shocking and stunning regardless of what the circumstances were. So the question is, you know, why are they changing that timeline around? You know, as you say, they're also being evasive about exactly when they heard that audio.
In the bathroom,
They were claiming that it was as much as 2 years afterwards, which is also a little surprising. You know, they said, oh, well, we forgot to log it and we didn't check it. And you know, the response to that would be, we have seen Durst a couple episodes ago in a similar situation where supposedly the cameras weren't filming, but his mic was on, also say, you know, talk to himself. Now, what he said then wasn't nearly as incriminating as what he said in the last episode, but there is a precedent for Bob talking to himself when there is a mic on him. So it's also hard to believe that you wouldn't immediately listen to that audio from start to finish any subsequent time, you know, you have him, to see what he may have said when he thought that, you know, nobody was paying attention to him.
Why is it important? Why is it important when he said it? I mean, you know, the fact that he said it at any time, as you say in your piece, would be jaw-dropping.
Right. Well, I mean, I think, listen, ultimately, they did this incredible reporting, and they, you know, not only the confession, but being able to, you know, unearth that letter that Durst had written that seemed to match the handwriting for the letter that alerted to police about Susan Berman's body in 2000. You know, that itself was stunning. Getting the confession was stunning. You know, what seems to have happened here at the end is that, you know, they seem to be a little more interested in creating the most compelling final episode possible, you know, even if that meant fudging the timeline, as opposed to, you know, just presenting things in a more straightforward way. You know, you have these bombshell confessions, you have these bombshell pieces of evidence, and it just seems, again, you know, as we were saying earlier, given that, you know, that they have spent the entire show you know, poking holes in Durst's own, you know, recollections and his own timeline, to go and turn around and do the same things in the last episode, it just, they didn't need to go that extra step. And it just taints a bit the euphoria of that last episode. You know, the euphoria of their discovery, I don't say that it makes it all of a sudden inadmissible.
No, but it's important, Jason Lynch, because, I mean, let's face it, we've all been, you know, from Bill O'Reilly to Brian Williams, we've been talking about those who grill other people about the truth, and it matters even in this documentary, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it does, and I think, you know, I just think what hurts there's two things that hurt their case. I mean, the first is you know, as we were saying before, is that they just seem to be doing some of the same things that they had, you know, that they had been kind of catching Durst for doing. And then the second is that even if you've done that, you know, then come out, you know, yesterday doing these interviews, come out and just say, you know what, we changed things around for the sake of, you know, just creating an entertaining episode. We should have been clear about the timeline. We shouldn't have done it. But to be kind of evasive and saying, oh, I don't know, I need to check what the timeline is and get back to you. Obviously, these were questions that were going to be asked. They would have asked those questions themselves if they had been interviewing somebody. So that, it does them no favors to, you know, to be evasive and then to claim that they're doing it because they think that they may be called to trial. I mean, as they have admitted, they gave this evidence to law enforcement several months, if not, you know, a year or two ago. And so they knew that this could lead to, you know, an arrest and possibly them being called to trial at some point. So for them to all of a sudden realize yesterday in the middle of interviews that that was a possibility just doesn't seem to hold water.
No. Well, more questions, although we do have some answers. Meanwhile, Robert Durst, he has been arrested and he's going to be appearing in a New Orleans court very shortly, isn't he?
Yeah, he, well, yesterday he was in court today, and then he was also in court yesterday. So he, now yesterday he said he waived extradition, and he's going to be flown back to California to face charges. Today now his lawyer is saying that they may be changing their mind on that and might be fighting extradition. So as has been the case for the last several decades, you know, the story is not over yet.
All right. No, it is not. Jason Lynch, a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Take care.